bonesaw is ready.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Iron Man, and this is my friend,
Captain Jared. I can do this all day.
We will be your hosts today for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We'll give an overview, provide our overly considered thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well fit this game is for your table. Today, we are looking at Marvel Champions, designed by Caleb Grace, Michael Boggs, and Nate French. Artwork is by a plethora of people and published by Fantasy Flight Games.
Marvel Champions is a 2-4 player cooperative card game where players will take on the role of their favorite Marvel heroes to thwart the villain's evil schemes. Each turn, players will play cards in an attempt to defeat the villain.
Boom! Bam! Smack! Zap! Crash!
When the players deal enough damage to the villain, the players win. Or, if the villain completes his evil schemes, the game ends and the heroes have lost.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, Jared.
Ian.
What was your first ever Marvel experience ever?
I was not a good comic book reader growing up. In fact, I wasn't a really good reader at all, if we're being honest.
Okay.
Books did not really draw me in as a child, which is pretty sad when I look back on that.
Yeah.
But I do remember being introduced by Sony Entertainment to Tobey Maguire and Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
The best of all kinds.
Yeah, sure.
Bonesaw is ready.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I saw that scene, I was hooked. I was like, I don't care how the rest of this goes. This is going to be great.
What's up, punk? Punk?
I bet I watched some Spider-Man cartoon as a child.
Yeah.
But that didn't really have a big impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that was my first real engagement in Marvel.
Sure.
And I think I might have mentioned this briefly on our Get to Know Us episode, but the MCU hooked me with Iron Man. And then we had the Captain America experience where, I mean, the only reason I saw it was because I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the middle of the summer and there was a $2 theater down the road.
Wow.
And we happened to go see it because we were bored. And it was great.
Yep.
And I have watched literally every minute of the MCU since.
Yeah.
So that was my first engagement with Marvel.
Yes, that would be probably, it's either that or if you remember, speaking of Captain America.
Oh boy.
The Fantastic Four with Chris Evans.
Oh no, I did. Yep. Was that before Sam Raimi's Spider-Man?
I don't think it was, but okay. This would have been the same time I saw these. It would probably be this.
You guys, Chris Evans is everything. I aspire to be Chris Evans.
The Human Torch, man. Oh,
good times.
Oh, Fantastic Four. Man, that movie was not good, but man, I watched it so much. I wore it out. It was that and Spider-Man. Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then when 3 came out. But oh my goodness, I wore it out completely. So good. So good. Speaking of Fantastic Four and Marvel, they're actually credited as the first ever comic done.
Wow.
Yeah, Fantastic Four. So
we're breaking out the trivia here.
They kind of, like yeah, that. I know. So it was really known for kickstarting like Marvel is what we know. Like the Marvel you know comics, it was mostly started by Fantastic Four in 1961.
Wow.
That was the issue one. So
right out of the garage, right?
Yeah.
Of Stan Lee.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy. But Captain America did come out before that, which is funny, but it wasn't like your normal Marvel. It was done by Jack Kirby for Timely.
Okay.
So Captain America was first, but like I don't think it got the attraction that it really, like everybody knows as Marvel until the 60s.
Okay.
And so that's when like they brought out the Fantastic Four and it really stole the show and got everybody back into the comics. So again, I'm not like a nerd about all this.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to ask you this on a quick Google search.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
I Google when Marvel Comics was founded,
mm-hmm.
it says 1939.
Yeah. So yeah, that would have been, is it Jack Kirby or Joe Simon?
I don't know. Google hasn't given me that much information
yet. Yeah. So it would have been with Timely, which would have been the comic book. We're learning as we go.
Timely Comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
So Timely did dropped Captain America.
So was that? So it wasn't officially like Marvel Comics
no.
at that point.
No, it was. No, it was not. It didn't drop as Marvel. It later became Marvel Comics, but it was not. It was Timely, which we know as Marvel characters. But
I see. I was gonna say. So this is how far I've come
mm-hmm.
in my Marvel knowledge. Is Victor Timely named after Timely Comic?
Oh, that's pretty funny.
I'm just saying.
I don't know anything about. I don't know when Kang was. When was Kang written?
I don't know, man. This is
that's hilarious.
All that stuff is still so foreign to me.
Speaking
all the comic
of Victor Timely, the last episode of Loki was incredible.
I have no spoilers. Thank
yeah,
you.
It was incredible. And
yeah.
the listener has no clue what episode I'm talking about because it applies to all episodes. So there you go.
True. I mean, I agree. All of Loki is incredible.
It's so good. It's captivating at the highest level.
More people in that show that I aspire to be.
It's just so good. So good. Well, welcome to this episode. Marvel Champions.
Here we are. Here we go. Ian has been over at my house for 2.5 hours
yeah.
now and has just been giddy as all get out with
this
episode.
One. You guys are in for it. You're in for it.
He was ready. He did the intro.
I know.
Like, that's how excited he is.
I was like,
is.
Let's get started. What are we waiting for?
Wowzers.
What are we waiting for? All right. So would you like to start introing this game a little bit here?
By how to play it?
Yeah.
Is the what we're doing
mm-hmm.
here?
All
yeah. right. Great. Yeah. So I can definitely do that. We're going to give a brief overview as best I can here because there are a lot of little nuances to this game, but I just want to give you the gist and then we will talk about it. So, players win this game by defeating the villain.
Yeah.
The way you do that is by getting the villain to drop their hit points to zero on their final phase.
Yes.
Players lose if all players' health goes to zero or the main scheme gains more threat than its threat value.
Yeah.
So just to give those win and loss conditions on the front end. Each player controls a hero. This involves a main card, which is two-sided. On one side is a hero, and on the other side is an alter ego form. On the hero side, it has three basic actions of thwart, attack, and defense. Thwarting allows you to remove threat from the scheme.
Mm-hmm.
It could be either the main scheme or sometimes side schemes pop out. You can remove from either. Attacking allows you to attack either a minion or the enemy itself.
Yeah.
Or defending is when you're being attacked and you can reduce the damage.
Put that shield up.
That's right.
Use your shield.
Additionally, the hero side has an ability of some kind.
Always.
Always and forever.
Always and forever. I can do this all day.
All day. The alter ego has a recover value, which lets you recover health.
Yep.
And a different ability than what's on the other side.
Yeah, different abilities on your alter ego and hero, and they are not the same, obviously, but they do, like, every hero is different. It's
That's
not
right.
the same for each person. It's,
that is true.
Yep.
Everybody is different.
And all of these values are different based off the hero you're playing, too. So
absolutely. Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
There's also health and hand limit size and mm-hmm. things of that nature. In addition to that main card, each player has a deck of 40 to 50 cards. Each hero deck has 15 cards, excuse me.
Yep.
15 cards from its own hero deck. And then you add from a particular what they call aspect. There are four aspects: leadership, justice, aggression, and protection. Each one has a different focus, which within that aspect, there are different allies, supports, event cards, and upgrades that you can have.
All the fun stuff.
All the fun stuff. So you pick one aspect and you can build, along with your 15 cards, cards from that particular aspect and from what they call the basic aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Basic can be combined with any one aspect. No one else at the table is allowed to take that aspect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have four players, each player is doing one of those four aspects.
I will say They are allowed to play the same, but you would never really do that unless you're playing a large player game.
I would not recommend.
No.
For those of you that do not like building your own decks, you're in luck, because every deck comes with what is called a pre-constructed deck.
Yes.
Which means you can just take it right out of the box and start playing and not worry about any kind of deck building at all.
Boom. Zap. Crash.
That's right. Wow.
Wowzers.
The other great thing is that these pre-constructed decks don't suck.
No.
They are actually competitive.
No, they're good. Yeah, they're good.
For the most part. There's a couple of that I don't really care for, but
I mean, the Hulk is whatever.
All of them can be competitive
on
their own.
They most are. Most are solid. Most
That's
are,
true.
Most are solid.
Most are solid.
Yep.
I said all. I've retracted that statement.
Most.
Most.
Most. Change the word.
All right. So that's what you have in front of you to start the game.
Yeah.
All players are working together to defeat the villain. All heroes play, so each player takes their turn, and then the villain goes. On a player turn, players choose which cards they want to play. They have these cards. Each card does a specific thing. Like I said, it could be an event, an upgrade, a support, or an ally. Each card will have a cost associated with it, and the way that you pay for said cards is by burning other cards in your hand mm-hmm. as your resource. Each card, in addition to its ability and its cost, also has a resource value.
Yeah.
So you have to discard a certain number of cards to be able to pay for a card. Additionally, so you have events, which are just one-time actions, and then they're done. Allies, supports, and upgrades all stay in front of you. Supports and upgrades are typically buffs for your character that will last for the rest of the game. Allies will stay in play as long as they have health.
Yeah.
Once they've lost their health, they go to the discard pile.
And yeah, so once all the players go, they'll take their turns together, but in clockwise order, so the first player will pass each round. Once they do that, the villain will go, and he gets to add a bunch of crazy stuff to the board. They'll attack each player or thwart based off if the hero's in alter ego camping
scheme,
out.
Not thwart.
Yeah, sorry. Scheme. If, you know, Ant-Man's hanging out, if Scott Lang is hanging out on the couch, the villain's not going to attack him because he doesn't know where he's at, so he was going to scheme his main scheme.
So, uh-huh.
After that, the players will be dealt cards from the encounter deck. And so each villain has his own set of encounters in the encounter deck, and you will deal cards out to each player that will reveal this card. And those cards inside that deck and what the players will be dealt in between each turns are possible minions, a variety of very bad things, events basically of some type that...
Right.
Affect the board state in many different ways.
That's also where you get your side schemes as well,
yeah,
which add on
schemes,
its own bad things.
Yeah, all that crazy stuff that the villain wants to achieve.
Yep.
Once all this happens, you resolve that, and then the players will go. The first player token will pass, and it will be a new player, and then you'll go clockwise from that player on. And you'll keep doing this until the game ends. Like we said before, the game ends when either a player dies.
No, when all players die.
Well,
even though you and I played the house rule that when one player dies.
So in,
technically, by rule.
By rule, all the players would have to die, or the main scheme has been completed to some extent, or if there's a scenario that changes the game end state, it will explain that. But in general, it's going to be the main scheme or all the players dying. That's what happens when the players, how the game ends, is one of those two ways. Or the heroes defeat the hit points of the villain, which is the way for the players to win. Again, unless the scenario says otherwise.
Correct. We are going to talk about our designer, Caleb Grace. We've talked about Caleb before. Caleb's great.
Our first ever episode, we talked about Caleb.
Caleb, if you listen to the podcast, hit us up. We'd love to do an interview.
Yeah.
Caleb's done some awesome games. We talked about Star Wars, the deck building game before. He's obviously now done Marvel Champions, and he's done a lot of Marvel Champions.
Yes.
He's done Lord of the Rings, the card game.
Yes.
Yeah, he's done a lot of great stuff.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of passion. I've seen several of his interviews from other people.
I love.
Has a lot of passion
watching
for Marvel
and
Champions.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to hear him talk about it. So yeah, really, really love Caleb's work and excited to see what he has coming up next. There are a lot of expansions for this game.
A lot.
So Caleb definitely has done a lot of work here, and I just commend the variety that has come out of this game.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, what, 5 or 6 big box games?
Yeah, and he's not
boxes,
even...
and then several smaller expansions.
There are, like, he's doing, I know, a lot of it. There are, the other designers that we mentioned are designing some of the packs, and
right.
He's not the only one doing it. There are other people part of the team that are... designing the expansions and packs that are coming out of this. But he's the one who came up with the main concept, and then he designed most of the original heroes. Mm-hmm. And then from there, the other people involved designed, you know, because it's so easy for one person to just take on like one hero and design it. So they've kind of done it that way where they have this game is team driven.
It is.
There is a massive team that is constantly working on this game. And I think that's really cool. It's not just necessarily one guy that's just pumping out his ideas. And I think that's really cool because you can really tell in hero design of like who this person designed this person designed this. Like they all have their own little kind of specialties and vibe on how that hero plays and how who made it. So
completely agree.
With that, the artwork on each pack and card is done by a million people.
Yes.
They have a whole team. Again, speaking of team.
Well, and I imagine they outsource a lot of it just because of the amount of cards.
Well, yeah. So there's so every card has unique artwork. Some of it is designed by their team. A lot is driven from comic books.
Did a great job of getting the comic book feel for sure.
I have seen specific artwork from comics that I've come across. I'll find people posting it. And I think it's really cool when you see a card that has, you know, a piece of artwork of, you know, Ant-Man or something, and you know, somebody posts it and you're like, oh, like that's from comic book 103, and this like it, there are literally pictures from comic books in these cards on top of them making their own artwork for the game. And I think that's a really good balance when you are, because there's a lot of cards, they're mixing it up though of their own creative stuff that they're designing, that they're been given the ability to do working with Marvel. But on top of that, they can take stuff from comic books. So that's really cool.
Completely agree. I think the artwork's great. Looking at the publisher, Fantasy Flight Games, they have done a variety of things.
Yeah.
They are under the Asmodee umbrella at this point, but they are personally responsible for Twilight Imperium, Star Wars Rebellion, Arkham Horror, the card game, which is similar to Marvel Champions, but in the Arkham Horror universe, Mansions of Madness, variety of other games, Android Netrunner, Battlestar Galactica. If it's a cool IP, they've probably touched it some point.
They own Lord of the Rings, Marvel, and Arkham. Like, that's...
I think technically anybody could do Arkham.
Yeah, but have produced most...
They've owned it,
of
for
it
sure.
All. Like, because Lord of the Rings, Marvel, are big IP, Star Wars, and so they've had the most...
And Ian, I don't know if you've played this game, but Twilight Imperium is an experience.
Yeah.
It is a massive...
I have not.
...full-day game.
I have not.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I know. I've never got the chance or had the time to dive into that.
Oh, it's a commit. That's for sure.
Yeah, I know it is. But yeah, they produced that. They've done a lot. Fantasy Flight is, I think, before Asmodee really like took over the world.
Yes,
Fantasy Flight was that top tier.
I would agree with
obviously
that.
They're all owned together now, so it's kind of hard to say that because they're all the same now. But Fantasy Flight for a long time was the one that made the most beautiful artwork in all their games. Every game they made had the best artwork and always had really good components and like all that stuff. So
I feel like they really were the first ones to really set the standard because back in the day you had Days of Wonder, which had high quality stuff.
Yeah.
But they were pumping out like a game a year, maybe.
Yeah. And their artwork is very different. It's not the same as the type of artwork that Fantasy Flight does.
But then you had a lot of companies like Rio Grande that would pump out good games, but the quality of the components or the artwork would be very meh.
Yeah.
And so I think Fantasy Flight really kind of took that and said, we're going to escalate it.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate the way that once upon a time they were the ones setting the bar.
Yeah. And especially a lot of their early games, I know they had a Star Wars card game that came out. They pushed that Star Wars artwork and it was great. And it was it was kind of ahead of what everybody else was doing. So yes, totally. Totally agree.
All right. Well, getting back into Marvel Champions a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the draw to this game, Ian?
Heroes. Villains, Marvel. What else do you need?
What do you want?
What do you want? No, it has. I mean, if you like Marvel, obviously this is. I mean, it's going to be a draw. But with that, you truly feel like you are playing a hero in this game.
100%.
Every time, and it's not like you just feel like I'm playing a hero. No. I am playing the hero that I picked. I am playing Captain America. I'm playing Doctor Strange. I'm playing Captain Marvel. I'm playing Ant-Man. I'm playing that character. It feels unique. each hero is unique to itself, and they created it to feel like that hero. And
yes.
Like their abilities, the cards you play, just makes you feel like you're playing that hero.
I completely agree. In fact, I think it is the thing that has hooked me on this game, because if it didn't have that, I think I would have moved on.
Yeah.
So back in the days of 2020 and 2019, I was very hesitant to dive into this game mm-hmm. because I knew what it meant if I got hooked, because you have the base game, which comes with heroes and three villains.
Yeah.
And then it's what they call a living card game, which means they're pumping out new content all the time. The only difference between this and a trading card game is you know exactly what you're buying in every pack that you buy.
Yeah. So trading card game has rarities. If you buy individual like booster packs, and it has stuff in it that, again, it's all random chance on what you get. There's a set rarities of specific cards. In a living card game, there are packs. They're not considered booster packs. They're called hero packs in this scenario, or campaign
or
bags
or modular
boxes.
Packs or whatever. Yeah.
And within that pack, there is a list of cards, and that card is in that pack. There is no rarities.
And it's in every pack.
It's in every pack. There, you know what you buy in that pack, so you always know what you're getting. There's no card chasing or rarities or there's no foils in this game. Everything inside that pack, you know what you're getting, and they just continue to release more expansions
yes.
inside of a living card game, though.
So I knew this was exactly the model that I was looking for.
Right.
And I'd already kind of missed the boat on Star Wars a little bit, because I had tried Star Wars back in the day as a newer gamer is when I got to try it, and I don't think I was ready for it.
And this is Star Wars, the card game, the
That's
living
correct.
Card game.
The living card game. Shout out to Rick Fox, one of our awesome listeners, who I remember getting me that Star Wars, the card game. I believe he got it for me for Christmas, right after it came out that year. I got that game probably about the time it came out. I don't think I fully embraced how good that game was until it was too late and I kind of already moved on.
And had you played Arkham or Lord of the Rings?
I played one game of Lord of the Rings. It didn't really hook me. It was okay.
Gotcha.
So anyways, someone gave me this game and I was like, okay. And so what ended up happening is I got COVID, and so I'm stuck in my office by myself.
And I told you about this game before.
You had
this
already
too.
Told me about it, and you were already hooked.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Jerry, you need to get this game.
Whatever. I'll try it.
No, you didn't want, you were like, I don't know. And then somebody gave it to you and you're like, well.
So I got COVID.
Yep.
I'm sitting in my office all by myself with this stack of games that I could play. And Marvel Champions can be played solo. I was like, whatever. I'll try it out.
And it does.
You guys, I pulled Spider-Man out of the base box and I fought Rhino.
Oof.
And 30 minutes later, I'm texting Ian and I'm saying, Ian, I just played Spider-Man. Like, I literally, not like I just played his deck.
I was
Spider-Man.
I remember this text specifically.
Yes.
This is what you said. Yeah. You said that I was Spider-Man.
I was Spider-Man.
For an hour.
It was
great. Spider-Man. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it looks like we're going to be playing this game more.
And we played this game a lot. I would say we played this game more than X-Wing at this point, which was our game of choice.
We have played
this
game more than any other game ever.
That is true.
We've spent more hours playing this game than X-Wing at this point, yes.
And a lot more money.
Yeah. No, you feel like you're playing the hero. And I remember you saying that when you first started. Yes, it was. And I have a question later that'll talk about more of my initial experience with this.
Yep.
But the catch, though, is you're playing the hero, and that villain really does feel like that villain, though.
It's true.
It's a little bit less for the villain as far as like, oh, I'm fighting against the Green Goblin or something. But they each add their own thing that is very unique to them. And a lot of the scenarios really do feel like that villain is doing what that villain does in either movies or comics. And mm-hmm. so it really does add so much to the theme of this game. And I think you could totally enjoy this game even if you're not a big Marvel fan. 100%. Like, this game has so much in it.
Yeah, I think so.
You're hesitant more than I am on that one.
Well, so here's my thing. I think part of the draw for me is that this is a way that I can learn more about Marvel
mm-hmm.
without having to go read 1,000 comics.
That's fair.
Like, I love the MCU, and I have fully committed to, like, every moment of the MCU.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
I have learned a lot from this game.
I learned so much.
The universe.
I have started seeing things in here, and then I'll see fan theories online talking about the MCU, and I'm like, oh, I know what you're talking about.
So, it's really, it is cool. It is cool, especially as somebody who's not reading every comic.
Yes. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to say if you don't like Marvel that you'd still like this game. I kind of feel like if you're just a general superhero fan, but not a Marvel fan, there's other superhero games out there that are less of an investment overall, and I think would be a better game because of that. But if you like Marvel at all, you will love this game.
Yeah.
This is the, in my opinion, I'm going to make a bold statement here, the quintessential Marvel game.
Yeah. 100%.
Bar none.
The statement before that, I don't know if I totally agree, but we have a little bit different. Our view of this game is about the same, but then I take it to a whole other level. So with that, I do think there are other superhero games that I've played that I will take this above and beyond just because of the game itself, the way it kind of does what it wants to do. And that's kind of our next question is, does this game promote the player having a good time? Does it let you have fun? Does it let you do what you want to do in a game? And for me, yes, because constant decision making within this game, picking between the cards that I have in my hand. And again, you build your deck if you want. You don't have to, but you're going to have cards in your hand that you want to play every single one of those cards. Every single one you want, because if you do end up getting to deck build a little bit, and this isn't like heavy deck building, you can throw a deck together very easily in this. When you get to the point though, you drew your six cards or five cards, depending on your hero, you draw your cards. Every single one of cards you want to play, but you can't play them all because you use cards to pay for your other cards. And there are ways to get, resources from, cards you have upgrades out, or your hero might give you a resource, or there's other ways to generate some extra resources when paying for cards. But in general, you pay, this three cost card, you need to spend three cards from your hand. Unless there's like a double bonus card, there's some resource specific cards that are in that you can put into your deck. But within those, you have to decide each and every turn, what am I doing with my turn? Which cards am I using to pay for this other card? And that is one of my I've mentioned this before, is when there is a strictly mostly a card game, and it can be, not necessarily just a card game, but the cards can be used for multi-purpose. I love it in a game. I love it when cards can be used for multi-purpose because it doesn't clog my hand with things that are just specific to one thing. And there are resource cards in this game that are specific to that, but you want those in your deck. You're putting that in there for a purpose, where most of the time, every card in this game you can use as a resource, and every single card you can use to play its event or its action or whatever it does. And so I love that part of any game, especially in this game. It does it so well, is that I can play this card and do what it, the tech says, but I can also use it as a resource because I need to do something. Something is more important at this period of this game. And so that constant decision making is happening when you're playing this. Oh, the villain did all this scheming and now I have to thwart. And I had a pretty strong attack hand. Well, I got to pivot and I got to make that decision, unfortunately, and I got to do it. Or do I still attack? There's a constant decision making and it's so intense. It does feel like you're really having this battle with the villain that not many other games do as far as cooperatively, that really forces each player to play as a team and communicate as a team. But you also have to play your own game of like, this is the hand I have and I'm going to optimize it the best I can. I love the optimization that you have to do on your turn. And you could just play this game light. I've played this game a lot. Every time I build a hand and play a hand, I am looking for the most optimized move, but you don't have to play that way. This game is fun by itself. And the more you play it, the better you get at it. The more you play, the better deck you get to look at and build. There's just so much depth to this game. And so it allows the player to have fun, I think, more than just the theme. I think the actual card play and card design, too, really helps the player have fun. And you're welcome to elaborate on that. I was talking for a while there, but...
No, you're good. I was going to let you go because you had a lot of good things to say there. Yeah, I think there's not a lot that keeps me from being able to really enjoy what I'm wanting to do when I sit down to play a game.
Yeah.
I've said more times than I thought I ever would on this podcast already that I'm looking for games that I can feel like I'm part of what I'm playing.
Yeah.
I want to feel engrossed in that. And this does that in spades. But I agree with you that there's a real game here. It's not just feeling like Spider-Man or Captain America or whoever. That's great. But the amount of decision making, the amount of tactile play, every single hand is different. You have a strategy for what you're doing with your overall deck.
Yeah.
But you have to respond to the villain and what the villain is doing, and that can completely change your whole plan every single hand. And that's crazy.
And then your hand is different. You could build the same deck, and that game will be completely different. You could play the same exact deck 10 times. It'll be 10 different games because the way that your cards come up differently.
Yes.
The combos, and that the great thing about this game is the combos. Like the combos that you can pull off is incredible.
It's really fun.
But every time you play the game is different because those decks are different, and you're not pulling the same exact cards every single time.
Well, and going back to something else that you said, you and I have really challenged each other to get better at this game.
Yeah.
I remember sitting down tonight to play, and you said, bro, my deck's at 48. And I'm like, nah, you got to trim that. We talk all the time about trimming the fat.
Yeah.
Because we want to get as close to that 40 card count as we can.
Right.
Because we've learned that's optimal play. Sometimes that's not always true.
Yeah.
It's okay sometimes to throw in a little bit more.
I thought I was doing all right.
No, I mean, no critique.
Yeah.
I mean, but you and I, you agreed.
We've talked.
We trimmed down a little bit.
We've talked about it, yeah.
We've learned from each other and how to play different styles and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it has been a really cool bonding experience, which is the ultimate goal of all things we do at the table, right?
Yeah,
is to be able to get together and enjoy our time. You and I are always talking about, are we buying the latest hero?
I know, yeah.
Are we making another money sink? Are we doing whatever? And of course, you and I are both buying it for some reason.
Always.
Because we play with people outside of just the two of us. But it's always a fun experience, and we've found a lot of creative ways to play this game, and we've pulled out some wins that felt impossible.
Oh, yeah.
And now, granted, we spent way longer at the table than we should have for it, but man, it felt great to pull that out.
And the villains have, each villain has three difficulties. And so you can play on easy mode, which would be the first stage and the second stage. Each game, you will always defeat two stages, unless, again, specific scenarios. But in general, you'll face two stages. You'll defeat the first stage and the second stage. When you complete the second, if you defeat the hit points of the second villain stage, you will win. But you could also play with stage 2 and 3 for the expert heroic mode, which at this point we kind of play mostly that, depending on how we're feeling. But in general, we're experienced. But you can tone and change the difficulty of this game fairly easily, really easily.
There's a lot of ways to adjust based on what you want.
Totally, totally. So with that, though, I want to ask a quick question.
Sure.
As far as player interaction, because you're playing all these heroes, how do you feel, is it allowing players to interact at a good level, or is there not enough or too much, or how do you feel that interaction?
The interesting thing is that I think you and I have more player interaction outside of the game than we do in the game.
Hmm.
And what I mean by that is you and I do a lot of strategy of, hey, what are you taking? What are you thinking about taking with that aspect? Like, what's your idea there? And we talk through that. And once we get into the game itself, we do talk about, okay, what are you doing to handle this problem? What am I doing? And that sort of thing. But it's still more of you're doing your thing and I'm doing my thing. And occasionally those things intersect.
Yeah.
And they intersect through we're doing the same goal.
Right.
But I think by and large, you're playing your character and I'm playing mine.
Yeah.
And the interaction is if I defend an attack for you, or if you have a buff that helps me. But that's kind of the limit of how much player interaction I feel like there is.
I feel like it's very responsive or reactionary player interaction.
Yeah.
It is also very situational, and I guess what I'm trying to say is it happens in an instant and then it goes away.
It's true. I wish there was more of it, honestly, because of the amount of teamwork that you see with the Avengers.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you would do that very well.
Yeah, this game, it's a cooperative game. And so you're all trying to achieve this one goal. I will say, as we're talking about this, is in cooperative games, what can tend to happen is a metagamer type of controlling player can take over the game and tell everybody what to do. This tends to happen in the very first co-op that I ever played was Pandemic.
Yeah.
Is that one player basically tells everybody what to do, and the players never have any decision making within themselves. So there's a super fine balance between cooperative games, and I would rather be on this side of it, is that you can't see my cards, and I could tell you, but
we don't play that way.
You're not supposed to. And so I have to still play my game, and it's still my turn and my game that I'm playing, but we're playing it together. And so I think this game really does force you to play your own game inside of a cooperative game. And so I think that's really a really good take on it. Obviously, sometimes if you're wanting to play a full team game that you're all having the same amount of decisions together, this is definitely not that. But each player's individual decisions do affect the other players on what they do on their turn. Because if you're like, oh, no, I'm just going to attack, well, then the other player has to deal with the threat because we're going to lose if we don't get this threat off the board. So
yeah, I think there's no way to alpha game this game.
No.
It's impossible. There's too well, and that will come up in one of my critiques is that there's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there is a lot. There's
I think we went through a dozen games when we first started out before I felt like we had a full grasp on everything that was happening. We weren't forgetting any rules. We weren't missing anything on cards.
Because
there's a lot of cards.
Yeah.
And on one hand, it's fine.
Right.
Because it's a cooperative game. You're just playing together. And if you miss something, like, who cares?
If you're playing this game casually, it is hard to keep up. I'm not a casual gamer within this game.
Yeah,
I've kept up with the FAQs and the forums and all the cards and like all the terminology.
And I'm very grateful for that.
And so, yeah. So when I teach this game, like, I know all the keywords and I know all the things and I know all the sequences of play and all this stuff. So, yes, there is a lot to keep up, especially as the game has expanded.
Evolved. Yeah.
There are a lot of stuff, but it's not that much. You can get it. It just takes a little bit of time, especially the new stuff.
Well, and I would say, too, you and I are coming at this from the perspective of all of it.
Mm-hmm, right.
But in the base game, I think it is relatively easy to pick up. And the design of the villains in the base game, I remember showing Rhino to Anna.
Mm-hmm.
And we played, and when we got done, she's like, oh, that was really quick.
Yeah.
Because it does play quicker.
It does.
Now, there's some scenarios that you can get into in the expansions.
Right.
Where, geez, dude, we've been there for a long time.
These games can take a while.
And some of that is self-inflicted.
Sure.
Like, we play to optimize instead of just casually throwing cards on the table.
And then we'll lose, like, two times and still keep playing and all this stuff. So, with that, as far as, like, yeah, what is this game lacking, then, as for you? Like, what is it keeping you from doing and keeping you from achieving, like, as far as in a game that you don't like?
I think my big critique with this, or I used to play Sentinels of the Multiverse, which is the more not IP, more generic superhero game.
Yeah.
There's just so much to keep up with on all these cards. And I'm saying that as a, like, hardcore gamer.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot to keep up with when you get into the more complex scenarios. And there are times where I'm like, okay, I just trust that Ian is telling me the truth, and I'm not even going to bother checking it. Like, why would I do that at this point?
That's funny.
And so it makes me feel like, as a player, I'm missing out on something.
Okay.
Because I'm more just listening to another player say it.
Sure.
But I also, I am blessed to have someone who keeps up with all that. And so it's easier for me to just be like, okay, that's what's happening.
He's got it.
But that same thing happened with Sentinels, where...
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who played all the time, like, way more than I ever would. And so when we played, I just trusted that they knew what they were doing with the villain. And I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to play my turn and not worry about it.
Yeah.
So that to me is a thing that is potentially lacking in the very complex scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's anything you'd find in the base box.
No.
But in some of the expansions, you could definitely see that.
Yeah. I'm coming from a different point of view, obviously, because I know all that stuff. So it's not as much for me, but yeah, I could definitely see that. I could definitely see it being a lot and being a lot to manage, because it is. It's it's a good amount, especially if you haven't played in a while. It's like one of our last games we did play. It's been a little
that was sloppy.
It'd been a while, so we'd kind of had to refresh our minds as we're like halfway through the game. So yeah, it can happen. There is a lot, especially with some of the other expansions. We'll get into like what. As far as buying purposes or whatever. But,
sure.
The individual campaign or expansions, as far as villains wise, are a little bit more in depth than like a box. The boxes like take you through a campaign. It's a little bit more self-explanatory, where some of like, I know like the Green Goblin or Mojo or whatever, there's a lot more kind of put into that as far as like complexity compared to a box, because they're trying to get you through a campaign.
They're expecting that when you're buying those packs, you know the game already.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I mean, that's been a struggle of this, not a struggle, it's been a complication that this game has tried to overcome throughout the various expansions, mm-hmm. is that you do have people that are playing casually, and you have people that are very good at this game and they want a challenge.
Right.
And so they're trying to balance that in these various expansions.
Yes. And I think in general, they have definitely done that well in my mind.
Yeah.
As an experienced player, because I just go straight to the expert, like 2-3 levels of each villain. But sometimes I've gone back to the one and I'm like, oh man, this is not actually, it's kind of hard. But in general, the 1 to 2, I feel like an entry level person can get into. And so I think that's really cool that the way they did that.
It is very well done.
Now, as far as player count, this is 1 to 4.
Yep.
And so you can play a single hero, but I don't think either of us really do that.
When we play by ourselves, we both play two-handed, which means we're playing two heroes, keeping up with both hands. Mm-hmm. You're basically playing as two people.
Yeah.
We obviously play a lot of two-player, and I've played three-player a few times. I don't know that I ever want to play four-player in this game.
I think it's an experience.
Maybe like a one-time thing.
So this game, as far as length, if you play one of the more complex scenarios, it can be longer. You're looking at a couple hours.
Yes.
You're looking at a couple hours at least.
And I will admit again, I think some of that is self-inflicted in the way that we like to play.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're just throwing cards on the table, it can definitely go faster than that.
Yeah.
But.
And the more, especially base and some of the early scenarios, they were a lot faster. Sure. As they've developed more, people, you know, have asked for more complex stuff. So.
Oh, we got through Rhino in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's
whatever. And Claw's a little bit longer, but
totally
all the base game villains, you can definitely get through in an hour.
Yeah. But this game definitely ramps up for how many players you're adding. So if you're playing with two people, the game's going to be shorter than with four people.
Yes.
Because four people, for each player that is added to the game, the villain gets that many more hit, it gets a certain amount of more hit points.
Yep.
So
Everything ramps up.
So you have to defeat more hit points. It's not like it's the same. So it does ramp up. If you're playing a four player game, I've played four player. It's depending on the scenario, between 2 to 2.5 hours ish. You know, if you're everybody's kind of familiar. If not, it might be three, but yes, I would play this game with four, and I would play, I think three is a great number for this game.
Yeah, I don't think I have any issue with three.
Yeah, I think three is a really good number. Four definitely takes it to a very longer game for sure. The reason I don't want to stay away from it is it's such an experience. When you play with four, it's a very different game than the two. Like when me and you are sitting down and you're playing this with two, it's just a very different game. It's very, you know, boom, the next player goes, I go, villain, back at it. When you're playing with four, it is a longer game. You take your turn and three other people go, and that can take a while, especially when you start getting later into the game. And then the villain goes, and then your turn might not, you know, your turn's three other turns after that. So it takes a while. You have to be patient, and
engaged.
Yes, engaged. And so if all four players are engaged, though, it's really fun because there's so much on the board for you to manage. And I'm not trying to say the bad part of the manage is that there's a lot of minions and
there's a lot to engage and there's
engage
a lot of things
and be involved with. You're like, oh, this massive dinosaur is sitting in front of me. I need help. And so everybody can team up on it. And so there's so much more to do with your turn when there are four people, because you're like, oh man, look at all this stuff I can do. Like I can do this combo. Where in two-player, like, there's not always as much options, but the game's still tight. This game will beat you down.
Yes.
Like any other co-op game. Like, this game will beat you down, especially if you're playing at the difficulty based off your, you know, experience.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because, like, I know there have been games where I've felt like I've been cut off at the knees, and I was just the sacrificial lamb, and you were able to carry us the rest of the way while I was getting beat to crap and back.
Right, right.
But there have been games where I've been cut off at the knees, and I'm like, this game's over.
Yeah.
And I know there's no way out of it.
Exactly. So length can be an issue.
Yes.
And I will say. At a higher player count, it can.
After you mentioned the T-Rex, which comes from the Kang experience, you and I have technically played a four-player game because we both played that game of two-handed each.
We did.
So I agree with you. There is a lot of exposure when you have that four-player game. I just don't know if the time sink's worth that extra exposure that you're getting.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely longer. It is. No, it is. Yeah, I would recommend not playing with four unless you guys love the game and want to play it all together.
Yes.
if you're just having somebody over for a game night and they're like, I've never played this before, and you're not sure how they would feel about it, that would be something that I had to stay away from. But I have played this game with people that wanted to play.
Sure.
And it's that's the way to play the four. If
four
not,
experienced players could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you're looking at something else, 2 to 3 is kind of where this game likes to sit.
It sings very well there.
So, yeah. So the base game comes with how many heroes?
So the base game comes with 5 heroes and 3 villains.
Yeah. So the heroes in the base game are She-Hulk, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, and Black Panther. Yep. All really good heroes. She-Hulk is kind of a hit or miss.
I like She-Hulk.
Yeah, I don't like She-Hulk. On top of that, it comes with 3 villains. Rhino, Claw, and Ultron. Within that, it has...
No James Spader voice to go along with
that. Yeah, yeah. On top of that, it has some encounters that change the dynamic of each of the scenarios. Mm-hmm. After that, that's the base. And you'll buy that. You have to get that because it has the standard encounter sets.
Yeah, there's a few things that come in the base box that you really need that are incorporated in every game that you play.
Right. You need the standard for almost everything unless you... Whatever. On top of that, they have hero packs, villain packs, and then campaign box expansions.
Yep. And those campaign boxes are technically expansions. They don't have the things that come in the base game that you need for every box.
Right.
And they come with 2 heroes and 5 villains.
Yes. And that is a great way to expand your villain collection is getting a box. Briefly, I think as far as boxes go, I think, oh man, it's tough. They're all really good. I think the Guardians of the Galaxy one is really challenging, very hard. Not sure how I feel about it, but the Spider-Man's good. The original Red Skull box is really good.
I think it really comes down to what you like in Marvel.
Yeah.
Do you like the Spider series? Then you'll get the Spider box.
Yeah.
If you like X-Men, there's 2 X-Men boxes.
They're coming out with the X-Men now.
If you like Guardians of the Galaxy, I would get a little bit better at the game and then buy the Guardians box.
Yeah, please start out maybe with getting some of the hero packs.
If you like some of the more like traditional Avenger stories that are definitely covered in the MCU,
yeah,
then you can get the first expansion, Rise of Red Skull.
Yeah.
I think they each have their own output.
Yeah.
I do think, for me personally, I've seen 2 kind of trains of thought here. Some people are way more interested in getting new heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I completely disagree. I want more villains all the time.
Yeah.
So the campaign boxes speak to me way more than the hero packs do.
But we've been playing since the get-go, so and we do have the most heroes possible.
We have pretty much all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yes, there's plenty of heroes. They have most of the heroes that you could basically whatever want to play.
But you don't have to get everything.
No. No.
You can definitely just look at the hero packs and be like, oh, I love Doctor Strange. Yeah. I'm going to buy the Doctor Strange pack.
Exactly.
And then you got Doctor Strange.
Yep.
And then you can either play against the base box villains, or you can start buying into a campaign box.
And they have individual like villain packs too.
They do.
The Wrecking Crew, I think, is a phenomenal entry level campaign or villain pack. The Green Goblin is just it. When you get the original box, the Green Goblin is an excellent one to really start with because it adds just a little bit. It's really challenging, though, and it's a really fun one. So they have a lot of options. You can start small. You don't have to have it all. I promise you, you do not have to have it all.
It will feel like you want to have it all.
The thing for us, though, we did start when the game first came out, so there was no content, where now there's like you can literally pick what you want, where before we were just...
Buying as we go.
So a little different if you haven't gotten into this game before. And so, yeah, anyway, that's just kind of how there's so much content now. If you like X-Men, go for it. I think that campaign is fine. The heroes are awesome. Wolverine is fantastic. And so if you love X-Men, if you hate X-Men, you don't have to get it because it's not necessary. Like all the others, there was plenty of content before X-Men came out. I was pretty much content, and I don't even own a lot of the X-Men stuff because I'm not as much of an X-Men fan. I have so much content. There is so much game. You can play the same villains again. You can play the heroes over and over again. There is so much to this game. There's no reason, unless you really wanted to own it all. It's just not, it's not a must by any stretch whatsoever.
But if you are, it is a warning label that if you're a completionist,
yes,
this is,
there's a lot.
There's an investment here.
There is a lot here.
if you're someone who is more casual, does not want to spend a whole bunch of money, I think there's a lot of game just in the base box.
Totally.
Well, you got 5 different heroes and 3 different villains, and you can change up how the villains feel. So you've got over 25 plays just in that.
I mean, after that, you just buy the first campaign box, and then you're good. Like, that's so many
options. Yeah, you'd be solid for a long time. I think that, it doesn't have to be a high investment.
No.
And I think you can still... And everybody loves Spider-Man. So, just...
Spider-Man's in there.
Get the base box and play Iron Man and Spider-Man and call it a day.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of options.
Or Captain Marvel, which is also great in that box. And like we said, you can absolutely keep all the pre-con decks just like they are. You can have it ready to go, distribute the decks on a game night, and be ready to go pretty much immediately.
Yeah, which I've done. I've done for multiple game nights. Yeah, so as far as grading, is that what you wanted to move to?
That's what I was going to move to, but okay. If you have something else, that's totally fine.
No, this is part of the... Add this into your grading, because I want to go last on this.
Of course.
So, one of your... We've had many experiences. Do you have a memorable experience going into your grading that you remember?
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously the Spider-Man experience right off the bat is really what funnels all of the rest of this.
Sure.
I remember when I got the Nebula Hero Pack.
Mm.
It came out perfect time, and of course all this stuff is released in sync with the MCU. So I had learned to love Nebula as a character.
Yeah.
So I was ecstatic when they brought out her deck.
Yeah.
And I remember building a deck with her just on the fly because we were going to fight Loki for the first time out of the Thanos box. Dude, we clapped Loki.
Oh, yeah.
Like so hard. And I remember thinking, this deck is fantastic.
Pow.
Yes.
Clap.
It was all day.
Boom.
So just having moments like that where we've taken heroes, it's happened with Gamora, it's happened with Captain America, where we have just taken a villain and just mopped the floor with them.
Yeah.
That's been really fun. There have been other times, though, I think I referenced it earlier. I cannot even tell you who we were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But we hit the midway point of that game, and we looked at each other, and we were like, the odds of us winning this game are next to none. And we both said, but we want to finish it.
Yeah.
And we pulled it out.
Yeah.
It was the greatest victory I've ever felt.
I don't remember who it was. I think I know what you're talking about. It's probably Kang or something. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It was something crazy. And
that has happened many times.
Yes. Where we decided to play it out.
To see what happens. You never know what the cards may show.
We've invested more time than we probably should have, but it's so good.
Yep.
So that's the one end of the perspective. The other end is that I can also count the games where I have come in with a good deck that has competed well before.
Yeah.
And then because all the cards fell wrong, my knees were broken and then I was beaten with them. And you just sit there and you're like, I've got nothing.
Does Kang just beat you down?
Yeah, no, not Kang, but we've had scenarios where they have just Mojo
just beat you down this last game.
He did. Just took my legs off
on you.
Just beat me
sat
with
on
him.
You and then beat you.
It was brutal.
It was hard to watch.
What was sad is I was like, this is a good deck.
Yeah.
Like, I know this is a good deck.
It was hard to watch.
It was really...
I was watching from across the room. Like, I didn't know what to do.
Yep.
Watch you get beat.
You and Anna were both... Oh, Anna wasn't even playing. And you guys were both consoling me like I just lost a dog or something.
It felt like that. I felt like I had to... I don't know what was going on. Oof.
So that's the perspective that I'm coming in with.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think, man?
I think this game sits exactly where I put it on BGG. I give this game a 9 on BGG.
9 out of 10. 9.
I think that the only thing that keeps me from playing this game more is the time sink.
Yeah.
It is a time sink. And I wish there was a way that it could just go a little bit faster.
Sure.
And maybe, again, it could just be me. I don't know. But all I can tell you is my perspective.
Yeah.
And so I wish it went a little bit faster. I wish there was I don't even know if I would say that because you kind of like the swing because it makes those victories all the greater. But I wish there wasn't times where it got so bad that there's just nothing you could do.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only things I don't like.
But isn't that how all co-ops are?
you and I were talking about this off the air, right? I think there's a difference between a co-op being difficult but fun and just getting to a point where it's so absurdly difficult and so insurmountable that it's not even fun anymore.
Gotcha.
I think there's a very thin, fine line that a co-op has to walk, and it's unfair to even ask for it.
Sure.
And again, I'm talking about fringe scenarios, not all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
We win way more than we lose.
In general.
Now,
we're not pushing the difficulty every single game we play, though.
No, that is true.
Yeah.
But we do push the difficulty quite a lot.
We do. We like to win. Nobody likes losing all the time.
And I don't mind losing. I just don't like getting my brains beat in. So,
for
me, it sits at a 9. It does so many things that I look for in a game.
Yep.
I can't wait to play with my kids when they get a little bit older.
Yeah, that'd be
good. And I love playing with you. And so the way it has enhanced our relationship alone is worthy of a 9.
Yeah, this is our game.
It is our game.
It's our game. So,
I give it a 9.
So experience, obviously the ones you've mentioned, we've crawled out of the hole that Thanos put us in and have climbed back out of space and drove the ship to rescue the other Avengers and band together and have won many games and have I don't have an argument to that necessarily. It definitely can beat you down. And the thing for me, though, is when the scenario does, like, straight up just beat you down, you know it pretty early in the game. And so we're like, all right, we're out. We're going to restart. We lost. And so you can kind of reset before you're, like, deep, deep into the game.
Sure.
If you lose late into the game, you know, that's just part of it. But
that part is all co-ops.
Yes.
Like, there's times where you invest and then you lose.
You
and that's
lose.
Just how it is.
That's how it goes. That's kind of what happened today, actually. So, an experience with this game. This game came out in 2019, right before COVID. This was December, I think, of 2019, I don't know the exact date, but yeah. It was late fourth quarter, I think, for sure, maybe third quarter.
I think that's right, because I remember this coming out at Gen Con, and I remember seeing it there.
I bought this on Black Friday, I think, of 2019. And so I got it, and this is obviously right as the end of, beginning of COVID, 2020 hits. And COVID's rampant. I might have bought it later 2020. Either way, I bought it right during COVID and I started playing it solo. And then Jared got it. And so I have an experience that just will always be in my mind forever, honestly. So COVID's full ramp, we're quarantined and I'm at home, can't do anything. And I'd been playing games with this friend, and it wasn't you, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
But
I like this story.
Yes, but I came over after I got him involved, and we played me and you a lot after this. But
this could have been me if I listened.
No, that's right. You could have been a part of this. But no, one of my friends, I got him to play one game really before we started quarantining. He's like, man, I really like that game. And so COVID hit, and I was like, well, I'm at home. Let's find a way to play this game, because like we're just both figuring out what to do. So what I did is I split the base game, because all I had was the base game and I think the Green Goblin and maybe like Captain America, maybe. And so I took half the aspects. So there's four aspects. I took two to his house along with a couple heroes and some basic cards, and I gave him all that stuff. And so I took the rest. So I split my limited collection at the time and I brought it home and we set up the Skype. We set up Skype at the time. And I just basically Skyped the table at my house, and I played my hand, and then I'd say, hey, it's your turn. And he'd ask, like, what's on the board? What's on the table? What can I attack? And what's going on? Neither of us had, like, Tabletop Simulator or anything crazy like that. And so we just figured it out all through COVID. And so one of my favorite memories, just period in gaming, is, like, during COVID, being in this place of being separated from all personal contact with somebody else in the world, where I was finding a way to still be in the hobby and play a game. I'm kind of getting teary eyed just thinking about it. So it was just such an awesome experience that I'll never forget in this game, that I'll always have, is that it kept me going for a while, especially through COVID, that I was able to play via Skype with another friend. And so just, again, always on my mind, super cool. And the game is progressed so much. I was able to hang out with you and play all the really crazy scenarios on top of all that. That, I mean, this game has grown since then. So,
dude, we've had a lot of late nights where we've stayed up playing this game because we wanted to just one more go.
Yeah, one more.
You know,
we lost three times.
That's
and we're
okay.
gonna play Ronin one more time.
We're gonna try it.
Yep. We're gonna try it.
Venom Goblin was the same way. Oh my gosh.
We've been absolutely clapped multiple times. And I left.
We
so
just
I come to his house.
We can do this all day.
I can't do it. I usually come to his house to play, and
he is very
I have
kind.
Left miserable multiple times. And it's not all the time. Like I think three or four.
Ronin almost broke us.
Three or four times I have, and out of like, I mean, we're talking about 30 times probably. Three or four times I've left your house and I'm like, dude, I am depressed and I feel like I was beat down. It was miserable. Like that is nights. But you come back though and you're like, okay, I am beating this scenario. And so you come back and it's a full.
Well, I will say too, like you go home depressed, but then the next morning you would text me and be like, bro, I'm ready to go at it again. Like, let's go.
We could do this all day. So anyway, my review of this game.
You've set the bar for me because you told me I'd be surprised by what you said.
I'm going to give it a 10.
No, I'm shocked.
10.10.
Shocker.
It's my favorite game. But this game does everything that it wants to do.
That is true.
There is not something that this game is doing that it didn't want to, and everything that it set out to do, it does. And so the length for me is what would prevent people from playing.
Yeah.
Obviously, like managing the board and all that, that can be all issues. But when we're talking about the game itself, there is not a single issue that I have with this game.
Shocker.
And again, this is just me. But I love this game so much. It has a lot of memories and stuff attached to it on top of the amount of fun that I've had. And everything that I love in gaming, the heroes that you get to play and the deck building. I'm not a big deck builder, but when you build a deck that works and you get those combos going, it just sings. And if everybody's doing it at the same time, we've had games where we're just rolling and moving and just containing everything that the villain is throwing. Those are experiences that I'll never forget, and they're so much fun, especially the ones where you do come back, where you were put down early, and then you find a way to come back.
The comeback is the best. It's also the biggest time sink, but it's 100% worth it.
Yes. So, no, there's just, it feels like you're playing a superhero, man. It feels like you're playing that hero, and it feels like you're playing a superhero against a villain, and there's not another comparison. Like, that's what it feels like.
Well,
that's what this game is.
So, I will say, when I was given this game by somebody.
Yeah.
I had the full collection of Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Yeah.
And I sold it.
Yeah.
Almost immediately. I knew someone who wanted it. And after playing Marvel Champions like three times.
Yeah.
I called him and said, hey, I'll sell it to you.
Yeah.
Because I need money to buy into Marvel Champions.
Right.
And right. I think, and I was thinking about this, and I know they had some stuff already printed ahead of time and it was already kind of in the works, but the way this game, so I looked it up while you were talking. This game dropped November 1 of 2019, which means it dropped 5 months before full shutdown.
Yeah.
And it managed to survive through that and has thrived.
I bought this on Black Friday of 19 then.
Yes.
I bought this on Black Friday 19.
Yeah, because it premiered in August of 2019 at Gen Con. Official release date was November 1st.
Yep.
Just a testament to how strong this game is and how long it's been going. I mean, I think the living card game model is strong by itself.
Sure.
And I haven't played some of their other ones, but this one really sings. And I've told you, the only reason I would stop collecting this game is if they came out with a Star Wars one, which they're not going to do.
No.
And it keeps breaking my heart.
No.
Because they have a competitive one in Star Wars, but not a cooperative one. And I want a cooperative one, but that's not going to happen.
Sure. Yeah.
So we have Marvel, and I'm cool with that. I'm like you. X-Men doesn't really speak to me that way.
Right.
But I know that they're getting ready to do Fantastic Four soon.
It's got to be coming. They haven't said it yet, but I know it's coming. Yep.
And they're going to get into some stuff like that.
Totally.
So I'm excited for what comes. I'm excited to continue to learn more about this universe. And I'm excited to play more games with you, man.
Yeah.
So I think it's a blast.
No, you said this earlier. I've learned more about Marvel by playing this game.
100%.
I learned about, so Kang in this game came out before, like we know Kang in the movies. And so I learned all about Kang. I was like, who's this guy? Who's this like absolutely jacked guy? And so I researched him and I found all of it. So this game, it was really cool. I've learned a lot about the Marvel universe. Even if you're not like a nerd or whatever about Marvel, you can learn a lot from this game. It adds a lot. There's a lot of things to look up, which is kind of fun.
My favorite moment of that is I was having a discussion with a buddy of mine who's like hardcore Marvel, like knows the ins and outs, read the comics, whatever.
Yeah.
And I name dropped Squirrel Girl to him, and he was like, "How in the world do you know that?" And I was like, "Buddy, let me tell you."
Again, there's so many cards in this game, and it's you see it all, man. You see it all, and it's super cool. Super cool.
It is. All right, man. Well, I think that about does it. So I just want to say thank you all for hanging out with us this evening or this morning or whenever you're listening.
Yeah.
And I hope that either through a friend or by yourself that you're able to experience this game and that you're able. I want you to find a friend who will play Marvel Champions with you the way that Ian plays with me.
Yeah.
That's a goal that I hope for all of you.
That's right.
If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to all of our socials are in the description. Also, we have a Discord. Please join and let's have a discussion
about the games you like.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell us about it.
Tell us about yourself. We can just talk about anything.
Yeah.
If you have a moment, we would absolutely appreciate it if you could head over to wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a 5-star review.
Only 5 stars.
I know that doesn't happen with all podcast operations, but if you are in Apple or Spotify, you are able to leave that rating. It would be very much appreciated and very helpful. Also, follow us on Instagram, and whatever your podcast operation of choice is, please subscribe so that you are notified whenever new episodes do drop. These heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast, and we look forward to seeing where it goes. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as Faith and I dive into the mystical world of Kids Chronicles Quest for the Moonstone.
Ooh.
And in the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed. Your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
I am Iron Man.
On your left.